with mainly the most well-known verse of Scripture in this great chapter. It has a lot of verses in it that are wonderful. And I'd like to ask you to keep your Bibles open for just a few minutes this morning as I'll be pointing out other verses. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, and he's talking about all these things he's been talking about from verse 1 on. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible. It says that when you get in Christ, when you get saved, that everything, all things become new. Now, that's either true or it's not true. What do you think about that? Do you think all things? People say, well, when you get saved, it will make a change in your life. According to the Bible, it will do more than just make a change in your life. According to the Bible, everything is different. Everything is different. Let's look at it this morning and see. I'm preaching to you on the subject, everything's new when you get saved. Everything is new. I'm excited in my soul this morning. I was thinking there as they were singing, and I was thinking before they were singing, that I'll be having a spiritual birthday this week, about Tuesday. This was the week that I got saved as a teenager at Nebo Baptist Church. Every year this time of year, when the flowers start coming out, when the leaves start budding, and boy, my mind goes back to that week. I can never, ever, ever forget what the Lord's done for me. Well, I was thinking about all that God's done over the years and how He's helped me and kept me. And my. Boy, it just makes the wheels roll down deep in your soul when you start thinking about what God has done for you. Amen. To illustrate the message this morning, have you ever been to a restaurant to eat and you really are disappointed? Has that ever happened to anybody in here? You walk in and you think, well, we'll just try this place, and you're out on the road or something, and the tablecloth's not clean. It looked like the last person that was there spilled about half their food on the tablecloth. And then you pick up the fork and look at it, and it's something stuck to it. Like they washed it, but it didn't come off. You ever had that happen to you? And the waitress, she comes out of the kitchen about that time. You see her do like that, you know. She's sweating. And her hair, I hate to see a waitress come through going, blowing her, and her hair blows up when she does that. Stringing way down here. She's got her thumb in your soup. Sits it down on the table there, you know. Maybe there's a fly doing the backstroke across the top of it. And you know, it just kind of turns you off. You just, oh, boy. And I've been in one where I looked and saw a roach. I was sitting in a booth like this and saw a roach just crawling along the top of the booth there, just minding his own business. And I said, you stay out of my food. I won't bother you. But it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. That's the illustration, but it really does. Then maybe you go back to that same restaurant. Think about this. You go back to that same restaurant, say a year later. Same building, same location, but it's been painted, and there's a nice new sign outside, and it says, open under new management. You walk in, you notice it smells fresh, you clean the floors, are shined. There's a nice lady meets you at the door. She said, "Where she's real neat, her hair's fixed nice, and she goes and sits you down. Everything's clean. The food is good, excellent." And it all made, one thing made the difference, a new manager. Same building, same location, same, maybe the same floor, maybe the same tables, but under new management. That's kind of like what happened. You see an old sinner out here living for the devil. He's in his sins and he's messed up. And he's out there and he's gambling and he's drinking and he's partying and he's chasing things he shouldn't chase and all of that. And then you think, my, no hope for that guy. And then one day you walk in church and lo and behold, there stands that fella in the choir. And you say, that couldn't be the same man. I mean, his features are the same, but he has a new look on his face. He's all trimmed up and neat, you know, and he's got a Bible, and he's singing the songs of Zion. And it's almost like he's got a sign hanging on him that says, open under new management. Somebody else took over. The old manager had to move out. They fired him, and something cleaned that fella up. Cleaned him up from the inside out. Don't just have a sign on the outside saying, we have a nice new place. Even on the inside, everything is different. That's what it's like when you get saved. Getting saved is the greatest thing in the world. Getting saved is the biggest miracle that ever takes place on this earth. I don't like to hear anybody put other miracles, such as healing and things like that, ahead of the great miracle of salvation. Nothing's greater than getting saved. Nothing. You can be healed 100 times, but you're going to die of something sooner or later. Nothing is greater than the miracle of the new birth. I've never got tired of seeing sinners walk down the aisle, get down on their knees. I've seen them come down that aisle with just the most horrible look on their face. Their face just like they're worried, they're scared, tears running down their face. And then I've seen them look up and just look up like that and just a gleam in their eye. They got them tears, but they don't look like they did before they knelt down here. They look different. Something, it's like somebody switched a light on inside their soul. It's shining out of them. Before they're dark and dreary. And after that, they're bright and shining on the inside. Do you remember the night you got saved? I'll never forget the night I got saved. Never, ever, ever. I believe the Lord will let us remember it in eternity. The night we got saved. I walked into that meeting that night at Nebo Baptist Church. I never laid eyes on that old preacher, Joe Parson. He had never laid eyes on me. I got saved before he even preached that night. There was a group of young people got up and started singing. The Spirit of God was moving in that place so much. I mean, it was like fog in there. It was just like, you know how it gets. When the Lord gets moving in the service, you can just feel His presence. I was standing there that night in sin. My heart was black. My heart was full of sin. My cousin was standing right beside me over here. He turned around and said, hey man, why don't we go get saved? I said, I'm not ready to get saved. This girl sitting in front of me from school, she turned around and said, hey, Danny, why don't you go get saved? And I said, I'm not ready to get saved. Boy, my heart was just doing like this. God was moving in that place. I'll never forget the night I stepped out of that seat, walked down that aisle. I fell down about right here, as close as you could get to the altar. The altar was full. I laid down on my face before God. So I started crying, it just like I was throwing up. All them sins just started coming out. I never will forget the wonderful, wonderful peace that flooded my soul that night as I stood up. I mean to tell you, everything looked bright. Everything looked wonderful. I went home. Everything was new. I went home, laid down on the bed that night, looked up in my bed, and I got to thinking, hey, man, this is all right. I'm going to heaven now. I'm going to gold streets, see mansions, and live with Jesus. I got up the next morning, went to work. Me and a friend of mine got fired the next morning, the very next morning. Boss man couldn't see us sitting around, wasn't doing nothing. He was a plant manager, what he was. He fired us from our job. I took that whole summer and didn't do nothing but read the Bible and pray and read the Bible and go to church and read the Bible and went to church. And I'm telling you, God made everything different. God made everything different. Now, when you're real young when you get saved, it may not be that dramatic. I don't mean to make nobody doubt their salvation by implying that everything's going to happen to you just like it did me. If you're 6 or 7 years old and you get saved, you don't notice that much of a change, but the change still takes place. The grace of God that saves a 6-year-old is the same grace of God that saves an 18-year-old. So it is all new. God created man in His own image. Of course, the devil tried to destroy that. When you're born again, he creates in you again, and you get his image back. That's the difference between being saved and just reforming. There's a new creature. You are a new person. There's something there that was not there before when you get saved. The greatest miracle on earth is when a person gets saved by the grace of God. The things that you used to love, you start hating. The things that you used to hate, you begin to love.
You enjoy the Lord. You find out how the Lord feels about sin. It was sin that nailed Him to the cross. And you love the Lord and don't love that old wicked lifestyle anymore. You love the gospel. You love to see other people saved. You have in you something different. Somebody said, well, I've never changed. I heard the other day somebody says, if you are what you was, you ain't. Understand that? If you are what you was, you ain't what you is supposed to be. Do you know that? If there's never been a change in you, you say, my English teacher wouldn't like that. The Lord would, though. He said, amen. If you are what you was, you ain't what you're supposed to be. It's never happened. If there's never been a change on the inside, if there's never been something take place way down deep in your soul, then you don't know what it's like to be saved by the grace of God. Let me say several things about the new birth this morning and the new creature. And the first thing I'll say is that you have a new aim. When you really get saved, you have a new aim. Before you get saved, you have an aim in life. You have an aim in life to get all you can get, have all you can have, do all you can do, have all the fun you can have, get all the money you got. You remember when before you got saved, all you thought about was what would benefit me. How can I prosper? How can I get ahead? What can I do to make life easier for me? You say, well, I want to go to college. Why you want to go to college? So you can get money. Why you want money? So you can buy things. Why you want things? To make yourself happy. See, that's what makes the world go round out there. Wanting more, having more, wanting this, having that. But when I got saved, a new aim came inside me. Suddenly, I wanted to please the Lord. Verse 9 said, whether we labor, therefore, whether we're present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him. I want to tell you something this morning. When you get saved, there's going to be a desire in your heart to please God. It just naturally is there. There's a drive inside, like a little motor turning. And you want to please God. You know why you want to go to church? Because you think God will be pleased if I go to church. You know why you want to read the Bible? Because you think God wants me to read the Bible. You know why you want to pray? Because you think God wants me to pray. Before you got saved, that wasn't there. Did you ever notice that? Before you got saved, I mean, you knew there's a God and you didn't really want to hurt Him or nothing. But there wasn't nothing down inside you that it's involuntary. It turns by itself. Like, I don't have to wake up in the morning now and say, all right, now I've got to talk myself into doing something for God. There's something in here spinning, and it feels like wheels turning. And it says, Danny, you do right today. Danny, serve God. Danny, get up and go to church. Danny, do what's right. Danny, read your Bible. It never was there before I got saved. God put a motor inside you when you got saved. There's a desire in your heart to please God. I'm glad when you get saved, there's a new aim comes in. Amen? They sure are. I want to tell you this morning, you say, well, Brother Danny, I don't have that. Well, you can drown it out. You condemn it. But if you're really saved, there will be a desire inside you to serve God. I'll guarantee you that right now. I don't care if you're 6 years old when Carissa got saved. I think she was 6 years old when she got saved. You know what she wanted to do? Go to the telephone. Call Mama. Go to the telephone. Call somebody. Call her friend. Call somebody. Hey, guess what? I'm saved now. I said, honey, now you're saved. Read the Bible and pray. Boy, it takes on a new meaning. Everything's different. If there's a new thing, when you get saved, you have a new aim. Let me tell you something this morning. I am not what I ought to be. You didn't know that, did you? I am not everything that I should be. I am not everything that God wants me to be. I am not everything that you want me to be. I am not everything that I ought to be. I'm not everything that I hope to be one day. But I want to tell you, bless your heart this morning, I am not what I used to be by the grace of God. I'm not what I used to be. There's been a change in me. Something happened to me that night at Nebo Baptist Church. Something supernatural. Something that you can't explain. There's nothing in this world like getting saved. And by the way, you should never get over getting saved. If you're over getting saved this morning, you're backslid. Never. Listen, when they sing, my sins are covered by the blood, let your mind go back to that night when it really happened and your sins got covered by the blood. Don't ever get over getting saved by the grace of God. Not only that, there's a new association. There's a new association. It's who you associate with. The crowd that you run around with before you got saved can't be the same crowd that you run around with after you get saved unless you get them all saved with you. Now what happened to me when I got saved is most of my friends got saved too in the same revival. So that was a great blessing. And so I really didn't change crowds. The whole crowd changed. And it's wonderful when it happens like that. But there were some of them that didn't get saved. And you know what? I didn't even have to tell them. Word got out to my friends that I'd got saved. I didn't have to go tell them, hey, guess what happened to me? They knew it. And people that's done like this at me before I got saved, hey, Danny, how you doing? Where you going? Let's do something. Let's go riding around. The next time they see me, they went, hey. Like they were saying, I don't know what's got into him. Something's happened to him. We're sitting down there in front of the Keller store in Nebo the day after I got saved. Back then, everybody sat on drink cartons. Them drink cases. We're sitting down there rocking back and forth on them things, waiting on it to get church time. One of my friends drove up, jumped out of the car, said, hey, man, what are we going to do? I said, I'm going to church. He went, what? I said, I got saved last night. He went, see you later. And guess what? He came and got saved that very night. He got saved that night. Boy, I tell you, it blew their mind. It blew their mind. People say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to get away from them old friends I've got. All you got to do is get saved, buddy. They can smell it on you, man. They'll drop you. I mean, honest, there's just something about you, they say. You don't even have to tell them. They'll say, something's different about you. What is it? You don't act like you did. You don't even look like you did. Hey, you know what the difference between you before you got saved and after you got saved? They asked a little girl one time, they said, now you're saved. Do you still sin? She said, yeah, I still sin every now and then. And they said, well, you sinned before you got saved, right? Right. You sinned after you got saved, right? Right. They said, well, if you sinned after you got saved and sinned before you got saved, what's the difference? And she said, the difference is, before I got saved, I used to run after sin and catch it. And she said, now I run from sin and it catches me every now and then. I said, amen, that's right, brother. We still sin, but we're running from sin, not running after sin. And there's a big difference. There's a new association. You can't fit in that same old crowd you used to fit in. You're going to be miserable. You say, well, I love my friends. Well, God will give you some new ones. God will give you some new ones. Number three, you have a new attitude. Bible said in verse number 15, and that he died for all, that we should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them. When you get saved, you quit living for yourself. You say, well, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want this, I want that. When you get saved, you have a desire to live for him. Amen? See, you're different. Before you get saved, you can get mad at somebody at school or work or something and say, I hate their guts. I'll never speak to them again. And feel, all right, go home and go to sleep. But after you get saved, and you say, I hate them, something stops you. I'll never speak. Something in there says, now. You're not supposed to act like that. You're not supposed to talk like that. How many of you have ever had to go back and apologize to somebody for something you said to them or about them or something since you've been saved? Raise your hand. You ever had to do that? Boy, I have. You think I'd have done that before I got saved? You know what I done after I got saved? I went and laid the money down on the counter of roses for a pair of socks I stole before I got saved. And the only reason I stole a pair of socks just to show another boy that I could do it. I didn't even need no socks. I didn't even wear socks. Boy, I got to say, I wore tennis shoes. And, brother, I got a pair of socks up there. And after I got saved, they thought I was crazy. I stole a McDowell High Titans football jersey out of the high school before they was any McDowell Titan. Before they even got one, I had a jersey. And I hate to tell you that because you'll think I'm awful. But I was awful. I was a low-down dog center. And after I got saved, I went back and told the coach, I said, hey, remember one time one of them jerseys got gone? And I said, I'm the dog that got it, and I'm sorry. And he couldn't believe it. He said, I can't believe you come back and told me this. It's been like 2 years ago, something like that. And he said, something must have happened to you. I run into my algebra teacher that I had in high school, and she was sitting out at Hardee's, and I was sitting in there, and this woman, she had just got out of college, and she'd flirt with us in high school. I ain't kidding you. She's a wicked teacher. A teacher would flirt with the students. I mean, she's bad off. She ought to be shot. Ain't that right? Especially if it's a female teacher flirting with a female student. She ought to be fired and shot. You better protect me, buddy. We're half a mile from that. Boys, a weak amen. Say amen, preacher. You're telling the truth. Well, some of you, you've been watching too much TV. I can tell that's what's wrong with you. Hey, a lesbian teacher? No, 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 no. No, no, no. Not according to this book, brother. Not according to this book. You say, why are you preaching that? I'm preaching about all things are new when you get saved. And I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. Now listen. This woman flirted with us in high school. I'm telling you, we could flirt with her and she'd about give us good grades. She's a wicked witch, man. Of course, I liked her when I was in high school because, you know, we could snow her. But after I got out, after I got saved, I saw her at Hardee's one day. And I was sitting in there and I said, hey, how you doing? I mean, boys, we'd been preaching on the streets, you know, and everything like that, you know. And she sat down beside one of the other teachers over and I could hear her say, that's Danny Castle. He's into some kind of religious group now. I don't know what it is. And she looked at me like I caught some kind of disease. I don't know whatever happened to poor old thing. Ain't no telling where she's at right now. I feel sorry. I'd like to see her. I'd like to tell her a thing or two. Really, I would. Listen, when you get saved, things are different. And people know it. They say, I can't believe it. Some of my teachers said, Danny, I always knew you'd turn out. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know what they told me in school? You know what? I had French for a little while, and my high school teacher told me, she said, Danny, you could learn this if you would try. And I said, why do I want to learn French, Miss Kelly? And she'd say, you can learn this good. Said, you know them words. And all I remember was my name, Daniela Chateau. Chateau means castle in French. And I remember that. And I said, I don't want to learn this. What I want to learn French for? I want PE too. And she said, Danny, you could be a good student if you'd try. But later on, I seen some of them, not her, but seen some of them. They say, I had a little part in shaping his life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now she did. Miss Kelly always did try to teach me to do right, and they did try. But I bet you, if you ask them, they'd say, "No way, he ain't gonna make it. No way." Can I tell you what happened when the Lord got a hold of me? I get up here on Main Street and hold a Bible up and say, "The Lord's coming back." I'd see him go by and go. Good night. What happened to him? They thought I'd lost it. They thought, really, the poor fellow's gone insane. He's got a hold of some bad dope. I mean, something's happened to him. I never done no drugs or nothing like that. So they can't explain it. They think, they just can't explain it. But I tell you what, brother, this old world never has been able to explain the new birth. I got born again. That's what happened to me. Something got a hold of me, brother. God's big hand reached down, got a hold of my heart, and it made everything different. Hallelujah. You're new when you get saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. Not only that, you have a new activity. Bible's in verse 7, you walk by faith, not by sight. See, when you're lost, you live for this life only. You lay up treasures and get what you cannot keep. But you, when you get saved, you give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. Years ago, the old-time evangelist used to have, turn this thing up, please, Roy. The old-time evangelist used to have quitting meetings. And what a quitting meeting was, is these quitting meetings, they'd say, all right, we're going to have a quitting meeting. You need to quit your lying. You need to quit your cussing. You need to quit this and quit that. And they call them quitting meetings. And everybody come down and they quit this and quit their bad habits, quit their gossip, quit their drinking, and quit their running around. Quit all. That sounds like a good idea for the modern-day church to me. Boy, we ought to just get up here for about a week, 1 week, and have quitting meetings. And one lady come down to the altar, and they said, what are you doing wrong, ma'am? She said, nothing. And they said, well, why are you going to quit? She said, well, I ain't been doing nothing, right? I ain't been doing nothing wrong. I've come to quit that. She quit doing nothing. She quit. She said, I'm going to start doing something for the Lord. What happens when you get saved? You have a new activity. Everything's different. You spend your time different. Things are not, they don't have the gods out there in this world. Sports are no longer your god. Cars are no longer your god. They're okay, but they're not God no more. Money is no longer your God. I mean, you make money and pay your bills. You drive a car and wax it every now and then. So what? It don't have first place in your life. life no more. Something bigger, something higher, something more noble has come in and took over. Everything seems secondary. Everything seems like, well, it's not that important no more. You're ruined as far as this world goes. You have a new attachment. The Bible says in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. It's hooked on to us. It's like we're dogs on a leash, man. The love of God holding on to us and holding us bound. Something on the inside. You know what that is? The love of Christ is, let's say I know there is such a person as Jesse Hams, right? I know there is such a person. But I don't know Jesse Hams. Somebody come up to me and said, Brother Danny, I want you to meet Senator Jesse Ham. And I shook his hand and I said, yes, sir, glad to meet you. And then I could say I know him. That's where a lot of people are about the Lord. They know there is a God. They know he's up there somewhere, but they've never met him. They've never met him. Have you ever met the Lord? Has he ever come into your heart? Has it ever been real to you? Has there ever been a time when you said, Jesus, I want you in my heart? I remember before I got saved, before basketball games, they'd pray. And everybody put their hand on the ball like this. And I used to put my hand on there and we'd say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And I knew there's a God way, way, way out yonder somewhere. He was always way off in heaven, millions of miles away. And it's like I sent him a telegraph or something. Hey, God, help me do this and help me do that. But after I got saved, he is in here. And I could just talk to him in here. He's in me and around me. Through me. That made a big difference. Not only that, there's a new ambassage. You're ambassadors for Christ, according to the Bible. Verse 20 said, now then we are ambassadors. You have a certain responsibility to deliver the message. You always feel like that it's your duty to tell somebody else about the Lord. Before you got saved, you never, ever worried about a man going down the street, whether he's going to heaven or hell. Right? I mean, that never entered your mind. I remember I used to worry once in a while, afraid I'd go to hell, but I never, ever, ever, ever remember thinking, well, that poor guy went to hell or that guy's going to hell. That never entered my mind. As soon as I got saved, I started worrying about other people. That's a sure sign you're saved. If when you see somebody, you wonder whether or not they're saved or not. Lost people don't. Does that ever happen to you? Have you ever seen somebody at school or something? And you start thinking, oh no, I don't know about them. I wonder about them. That's a good sign, brother. That's a good sign. And then there's a new assurance. Verse 6 said, therefore we are always confident that, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we are confident, I say. See, you didn't have that before you got saved. You didn't have this confidence. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You didn't have that before you got saved. Before you got saved, you thought, well, I'll just die one of these days and hope for the best. If anyone makes it, I believe I will. If they're going, I'm going. But after you get saved, you're confident that as soon as life leaves this body, that you're going to be present with the Lord. Son, you can't beat that with a stick. I mean, there ain't nothing in the world greater than that. There ain't nothing in the world greater than laying down at night while they singing a while ago, lately I've been thinking. Amen. Boy, if the Lord was to come right now, I know I'd go with Him. What if that was to happen right now? What if the Lord was to say, da-da-da-da-da, and the trumpet blow, and all of a sudden, let's go, children. All of a sudden, doof, right through this ceiling. I know I'd go with Him. You know how come I know I go in? You say, well, you know that because you're a preacher. Huh? I know that because of what he'd done for me that night at Nebo Baptist Church. That's what I'm basing it on. Ty Cobb was a great baseball player. One of the greatest hitters that's ever lived. Now, some of you young people, don't you in this modern day, guys, where all they do is fuss about how much money they make. Back then, son, them old boys played baseball. Have you ever heard of Ty Cobb? Raise your hand. All right? Ty Cobb played in 3,033 baseball games and had a lifetime career average of batting over 400. That's a good batting average. Now, buddy, that old boy can hit the ball. On June 17, 1961, he's laying on his deathbed dying, probably the greatest hitter that had ever lived up until that time. And lay there in 1961 dying, and somebody told him about Jesus, and he got saved on his deathbed. And they said, Mr. Cobb, has the Lord saved you? He'd say, yeah, I'm saved now and everything. And he said, send a message back to my friends. Go back and tell the boys on the team. I don't know who he played for.
But he said, go back and tell the rest of the boys on the team that I'm sorry I waited to the last of the ninth to get in.
He said, it's the bottom half of the ninth inning in my life.
And I got in. Home safe. Home safe. I'll lick them. I'm going to get one. I ain't kidding you. They're good at butter and salt on them things. I can make a meal just off them biscuits. You know what? Old Colonel Sanders got rich off of making all that chicken, having all those restaurants and everything. And that old boy searched for peace. He got rich, but he had no peace down on the inside. And he went to church, and he traveled around and went to different places and everything, trying to find peace in his heart, and couldn't find it. Now, think about that now. He's rich. He's famous. He can buy anything he wants and didn't have no peace on the inside, just no peace in his heart. And he went to church one day, and they told him how to get saved. At 79 years old, Colonel Sanders got saved. And he come up and said that night, he said, he'd tried giving money. He had tried giving to charity. He had tried straightening up, changing, doing everything. But he said, when I got up that night, I knew I was a different man. Isn't that something? 79 years old. And he got up and said, I knew I was a different man. Something supernatural happens at the altar, brother, that reforming can't do, that giving money can't do, that trying to turn over a new leaf can't do. There's just something special about being born again, brother. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Did it ever happen to you? You say, well, Brother Danny, I've prayed and nothing's ever happened to me. I just don't feel it. You don't get saved because of the way you feel. I tell you, when you get saved, the split second that you put your trust in what Christ did for you on the cross and leave it there and say, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you. That's it. That's it right there. That's the ticket. And if you can believe that by faith, you'll have the best feeling you ever had in your life. I promise you. Everything's new when you get saved. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a few moments this morning. I'm going to ask you the most important question you've ever been asked. Do you know that you've been saved? Do you know that you have been saved? If you're sitting there this morning saying, preacher, I really haven't. I know that deep down in my heart I've never been saved. Then this is the day that you ought to walk down this aisle, get down on your knees, and let the greatest miracle that could ever happen take place in your heart. Would you do it? Would you do it? Father, please speak to hearts this morning. Do what ought to be done. Save that one which is lost. I don't know why you want me to preach this message this morning, Lord. Maybe it's to explain it to somebody. Maybe it's to make it easier for somebody to understand. But there's somebody here this morning that needs to come to this altar. I'm convinced of that. I believe that. I pray for that young lady, young man, mom or dad, whoever it is, that they'll come to the altar this morning and get this thing settled, take care of it. Walk out of here this morning knowing that they're a new creature.